Good morning, church.
Good morning.
It's great to be here. My name is Stephen Little, and as usual, I'm fired up to preach God's word. Amen.
Amen.
I got a special guest here. My mom is here, Ruth Little. Believe it or not, she is my mother. She looks incredibly young. Yeah, it's great to be here today. And I really love this church. I really love being a part of this body. You know, I can be somewhat of a nerd. Yeah, I like nerdy things. You wouldn't look at me if you thought that because I'm a huge jock. I'm very strong and big. But, you know, I was thinking about the brain. I was like, man, I forget a lot, but I'm not your average person. You know, what is the capabilities of the brain? What can the brain hold? And so I had to look it up. It's estimated that the brain holds 2.5 petabytes. All right, for all of us who don't know what a petabyte is, that's me included, it's 1 million gigabytes. So 2.5 million gigabytes. That is huge. If you bought a computer now and you had a really big hard drive, it would be about 1 terabyte, which is 1,000 gigabytes. And so given that our brain has the capability of holding 2.5 million gigabytes, blows my mind. To kind of get you to know what that is, if it worked like a TV recorder, like a DVR, how you can record TVs, 2.5 petatypes, you'd have to have the TV running continuously for more than 300 years. To be able to fill up that much storage. You know, it's safe to say that our brain has unlimited space. And that took me to the spot. I was like, the universe. You know, how big is the universe? You know, space, the visible universe that we can see. And the reason we can't see the whole universe is because it's expanding. And we can't see beyond what light brings to us. So the visible universe that we can see with the telescopes that we send into outer space is estimated to be 28 billion light years in diameter. Yeah, 28 billion light years. You know, it's safe to say that is unlimited space. You know, but there are things that are limited, like money. We got time. Time is limited. We got water and other natural resources. This is why these things are special, because they are limited. You know, life is special. And life as a disciple is an amazing adventure because we put our lives in the hands of our God. You know, we don't know where we'll be or what we'll be doing in 5 or 10 or 15 years. But we do know that we'll be faithful to our God. Amen?
Amen.
And the incredible thing about our life is that God, even though He hasn't told us exactly where we're going to be, He has given us a clear purpose and a mission. Our purpose is to know God. Our mission is to make Him known. And we also know how we're to live our lives. You know, Jesus lays it out clear in Scripture. You can look at Luke chapter 9 and Luke chapter 14. He gives us specific instructions on how we are to live. But the question is that quantifiable? Is that quantifiable? You know, something that we're supposed to do as disciples is make other disciples. But how many? You know, we're to give financially, but it doesn't say how much. You know, we're to give our time. We are to read and to pray. But how much are we supposed to do these things? Why is there no numerical amount on these things? I believe it is because there is no limit. It is endless. There is no top. There is no boundary. We can keep doing more and more. Amen. The title for today's lesson is More and More. The reason that we can give more and more is because God is boundless. He is endless and eternal. He has no limits, so that makes us our service to Him endless. We can serve Him for eternity. Turn to Psalm 89 with me. Psalm 89, starting in verse 1, says, I will sing of the Lord's great love forever. With my mouth I will make your faithfulness known through all generations. I will declare your love stands firm forever, that you established your faithfulness in heaven itself. This is an amazing thing that we can praise God forever. We can praise Him for all eternity. And I think this is so cool that God established His faithfulness in heaven itself. You know, heaven isn't going away, and neither is God. Neither is His faithfulness. And like I said, I love being in this church. That you guys encourage my soul. The way that you sing, the way that you give to each other, the way that you serve. You know, it's hard to find a church in the South, let alone anywhere, to have the diversity that we have here. It's amazing. Anybody that walks in this room, they're like, okay, something's different here. Something's going on. This is weird. This is not natural. You know, Sunday is supposed to be all black or all white. You know, you don't see a mix. And it's not just a mix of that, but it's a mix of ages. You know, you could go to a church and it's a lot of people with white or gray hair, and you got the grandkids. There's never really young people there. There's never really young people and old people mixing together. That's why I love being a part of this church. But I want to encourage you guys, I want to encourage all of us to do this more and more. To continue to serve God more and more. To continue to praise Him more and more. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And this is where this idea comes from. This is where we'll camp out. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Starting in verse 1. It says, finally, brothers, we instructed you how to live in order to please God, as in fact you are living. Now we ask you and urge you in the Lord Jesus to do this more and more. For you know what instructions we gave you by the authority of the Lord Jesus. It is God's will that you should be sanctified, that you should avoid sexual morality, that each of you should learn to control his own body in a way that is holy and honorable, not in passionate lust like the heathen who do not know God, and that in this matter no one should wrong his brother or take advantage of him. The Lord will punish men for all such sins, as we have already told you and warned you. For God did not call us to be impure, but to live a holy life. Therefore, he who rejects this instruction does not reject man, but God, who gives you his Holy Spirit. Now, this is an incredibly encouraging passage, and also very, very challenging. You know, the church here, Paul and Timothy are writing to them, and it's like, we know that you're living out the instructions that we gave you, how to please God. We know that you're doing this. We know that you are living these things. But we plead, we urge you to do this more and more. You know, urge, there's some synonyms for that. It's to ask, to beg, to plead, to exhort, and to call. Paul and Timothy are pleading with the church to please God more and more. They are begging them. They are trying to appeal to them and show them the importance of this. Brothers and sisters, I beg you. I plead with you to please God more and more. Now imagine that coming from Paul. The guy who planted the church that you are in, the guy who preached to you, the guy who forever changed your life. And he's pleading with you, he's begging you to do this more and more. Who is that in your life? Now think about that. The guy or the girl that brought you to God, that showed you the scriptures, that sat down and poured their life into you. You know, for me, that's John Sherwood. And he's leading the campus ministry in Tallahassee, Florida. And when I imagine him saying this to me, when I imagine him urging me and begging me to do this more and more, it makes me want to stand up tall. It fires me up. It makes me want to say, yes, sir, I will do that. I got your back. And this is what is going on here. Paul and Timothy are urging them. And in verse 3 it says, it is God's will that you should be sanctified. You want to know God's will for your life? God, what am I supposed to do? Be sanctified. Be separate. Be holy. Be set apart. That is not an easy calling. And in verse 7, it says, God did not call us to be impure, but to live a holy life. And this is what pleases God. For us to live a holy life, to be separate, to be sanctified. And it makes sense, because our God is holy. He is perfect. So why would His children not be that way? You know, why would a holy person want to indulge in sin? Why would a holy person use their body to bring pleasure to themselves? It doesn't make sense. But how are we doing in this? Do you have control over your body? You know, this is one of the things that really pleases God. And I want to look into some more of those. So point one is more and more for God. Doing more and more things for God. I think it's only appropriate to start out with seeking Him. And not just seeking Him, but seeking Him with all your heart. Now we see that in Jeremiah chapter 29. We also see that in Psalm 42 and many, 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 many other scriptures. I'm just using two so you can study this out on your own. You know, most of us read and pray on a daily basis. And that is a good thing. We do that because we want to grow in our relationship with God. We want to spend time with Him. We see our need to be in His Word and in prayer because this is a dark and cold world and Satan is out there and he's trying to take us out. But what would doing it more and more look like? You know, I believe doing more and more would be memorizing scriptures. You know, not just reading them, but memorizing them. Putting them on your heart. Reciting them throughout the day. I think another thing is, we just wouldn't have, well, I got this half an hour or 20 minutes of prayer. But we'd be praying throughout the day. You know, Paul says, pray continually. That's a hard thing to do. To pray continually. Because it takes relying on God. You know, another thing that would be more and more is not allowing ourselves to be distracted. I love football. I'm a football fan, and Saturdays are great days. You know, the game was pretty exciting last night. But did you have time with God before you sat down and started watching football? Did you eat before you read and prayed with God? You know, there's things that can distract us in this world where, man, the day is gone and we haven't spent any time with God. You know, it can be a busy, busy day and we might have to wake up a little earlier, but it is worth it. That is more and more. You know, doing more and more would be going to God first. You know, when you're seeking Him with all your heart, you're going to Him first. You're not going to others. You're not, you know, venting to your friends. You're going to Him first. You would have Him on your mind at all times. You know, how different would your day be if God was on your mind all the time? There's so many things that we would not do. There's so many things we would not think. There's so many things that we would not even be tempted with. You know, we all can be in a different place spiritually in this room. You know, some of us can feel incredibly close to God right now. Some of us may have been disciples for 25 plus years and are more fired up now than ever. Maybe some of us are building that relationship with God, or maybe rebuilding their relationship with God. But regardless of where you are, seeking God with all your heart is not being content with where you are. You know, if you feel incredibly close to God, amen. Get closer. You know, if you're rebuilding a relationship with God, don't stop. You know, if you're studying the Bible or visiting or have been visiting and you're thinking, man, I really like this God stuff. This is good stuff, singing songs to Him, reading His Word, hearing people preach about it, getting the fellowship before and after church. Do not be content. Go after God with all your heart. Do not be distracted. You can get closer and closer to Him. And I urge all of us to do this more and more. I know I can seek God more and more. Another thing is being a living sacrifice. This pleases God. And we read about this in Romans chapter 12. Paul says it's our spiritual act of worship is by being a living sacrifice. And this is a very interesting concept. Because sacrifices are killed. You kill sacrifices. It's a sacrifice devoted to God. And we talked about that in communion. That's what a sacrifice. You sacrifice an animal. You shed its blood. But we are to be a living sacrifice. You know, we're to kill our old selves. It is to die. And the life we live now is to be devoted to God. That's how we are to live. And it's a cool concept to think about that. That our old self has died and the life we live now is devoted to God. You know, we just had a costume party the other day with campus, and it was great. And a classic costume for any Halloween or costume party is a zombie. You know, I'm a zombie fan. I don't know about you guys, but I enjoy zombies. You know, there's movies about it, there's TV shows, there's video games. It's kind of like the, I don't know if you can call it a cool thing, but it's a thing that's going on now. You know, a zombie is simply someone who has died and has come back and not quite human and just wants to eat and kill. It's very simple. You know, as Christians, bear with me, as Christians and as baptized disciples, you have killed your old self. But some of us have become zombies. You know, you killed the impure, the prideful, selfish old self. But his ugly, rotten corpse has come back to life and is trying to kill you. You know, we're spiritual zombies out there. You know, with a zombie, you can't just push it away. You can't hit its leg. You got to destroy it. We can't play around with this. You know, a life devoted to God, a living sacrifice, that person trusts God. They put their life in God's hands. God, if you say it, I'll do it. It doesn't look like it'll happen, but I'll do it. You know, another quality of someone that's a living sacrifice surrenders their life. The life that they live now is devoted to God. Where do you want me to go? What do you want me to do? What do you want me to say? How do you want me to work? How do you want me to live? They're just completely surrendered to God. A person devoted to God is pure. They're humble. They realize that their possessions are not their own. They say, God, this job is yours. This salary is yours. This house is yours. These possessions of mine are yours. Thank you for allowing me to have them. Because they realize that, they give financially. They give their time. They give whatever they can. And I know that we do these things, but I encourage us to do these more and more. You know, you can't get enough of being devoted to God. You can always improve. You know, my natural state is kind of chill. I'm a chill guy. I like doing crazy things, but I don't like to really think a lot. You know, I really have to work on this. This is a part of me that I have to kill. You know, I really need to go after training from Richard and from the elders. You know, I really have to die to that. I have to activate my mind more. My mind needs to be devoted to God. But God, this is your mind. How do you want me to think? Amen. You know, there's other things. You know, spreading his word obviously pleases God. We read about that in John 8 and Matthew 28. You know, spreading his word is not being ashamed. Whether that's in school or at work or the grocery store, wherever. You know, it's living it out to save yourself and to save others. You know, we read about that. You know, it's letting your light shine and not hiding it under a bowl. Yeah, many times we can be afraid. Oh, I don't want them to think that I'm like this crazy guy. We are crazy. If you're following God, you are crazy. You know, trusting Him and praising Him are another things that please Him. You know, we read about that in John 4 and all through the Psalms. Psalm 92 is a great one. But we praise Him with song. You know, we did that today, singing songs. We could do that with poems. With writing. We can do that with our lives. We read that about living sacrifice. That's our spiritual act of worship. We can do that in prayer. We can do that by making music. We can do that by dancing. There's many, many ways that we can praise God. I encourage us to do these more and more. Amen? Amen. Point number two, more and more for one another. More and more for one another. We're going to pick up here back in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We're going to start in verse 9. It says, "Now about brotherly love, we do not need to write to you. For you yourselves have been taught by God to love each other. And in fact, you do love all the brothers throughout Gwinnett. Yet we urge you, brothers, to do so more and more." There it is again. More and more. You know, the unity in our church that we have and that we strive for encourages me. Unity is not an easy thing to have. Because we're sinners and we mess up. We say stupid things and we do stupid things and we forget. And it hurts people. And that's why unity is hard. It takes work. It takes being humble. It takes being vulnerable. It takes working through the difficult situations. And you guys encourage me with that. I see unity in this body. And once again, we see that Paul and Timothy are urging the brothers and sisters there to do this more and more. To love each other more and more. And Paul even said, "I don't even have to teach you. You were taught by God. You were taught by God." That's an incredible thing. And Paul and Timothy are still urging them, do this more and more. You know, the way that you guys serve each other, it has a great effect on one another and also those who are visiting. You know, the Spirit moves and the Spirit works and it's incredible. Stephen, his lesson this morning, you know, talked about that's how he closed, loving one another as Jesus has loved us. And by that love, they will know that you are my disciples. That is what Jesus says. And that is how we need to love one another. Loving as Jesus loved. You know, Jesus laid down his life for us. Think about that. He laid down his life for us. You know, he is God. He was in heaven with the Father. Jesus spoke everything that we see and imagine into existence. And he gave that up for us because he loved us. And that's how we're to love one another. He gave up unlimited power. He was perfect. Not tempted. Not tired. Not hungry. Not frustrated. In heaven, being praised all the time. And he came down here for us. And that's how we're to love one another. That is a challenging love. And, you know, and then while he was here, he was continually giving. You know, Steve talked about it, washing our feet. He showed us how to live, and he died for us. He suffered for us. You know, if I was to love the way Jesus loved, I would give whoever is in need. Whether that's of time, a shoulder, financially, a house, food, whatever it is, Jesus was giving. You know, I would be hospitable. You know, my wife is incredible at this. If it was up to her, we'd have people over all the time. I mean, all the time. You know, there's many hospitable people in this congregation. You know, how often do you have disciples over at your house? It's not your house. You know, we already established that. It's God's, so what are you using it for? How often do you have non-disciples over at your house? You know, it's one thing to bring our friends. What about new friends? Another thing for love is praying. You know, if you love someone, you pray for them. How often do you pray for others? Are you praying for your Bible talk? Are you praying for your family group? And how often do you do these things? You know, we can do these more and more. Are you praying about the people you are studying with? Are you praying about your coworkers? Are you praying about your family? You know, another thing about love is calling out sin. You know, if you see your brother or sister in sin, we need to talk to them. You know, that's love. Because that's not a comfortable thing to do. You know, I'm not really fired up to confront someone. Gotcha. Can't wait to talk to you. No, that's an uncomfortable thing. But if we love one another, we will do that. And a great example of that is Jesus at the Last Supper. Do you think that was comfortable for Jesus to hand Judas that piece of bread? Saying, yes, you are the one that's going to betray me in front of everybody? That's uncomfortable. That's hard. That's awkward. You know, we have to also bear with one another's burdens. You know, brother, what can I help you with? How can I help you? You know, are you typically a person who does not want to get involved? Or are you one that lays down their life for others? I think that's a good evaluation we can have of ourselves. Do I get involved or do I kind of stay away from that? How much do you love? You know, this love flows over into all aspects of our life, obviously. The way that we have relationships with people, the way that our marriages are, the way that, you know, we just care for one another, the way that we interact with each other. I think another thing that has a big impact on is the way we parent. You know, and this is one thing that we can do for more and more for one another, is teaching your kids. Let's go to Psalm chapter 78. Psalm 78, starting in verse 1. Says, O my people, hear my teachings. Listen to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter hidden things, things from of old. What we have heard and known, what our fathers have told us, we will not hide them from their children. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, His power, and the wonders He has done. He decreed statutes for Jacob and established a law in Israel, which He commanded our forefathers to teach their children, so the next generation would know them, even the children yet to be born, and they in turn would tell their children. Then they would put their trust in God and would not forget His deeds, but would keep His commands. They would not be like their forefathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, whose hearts were not loyal to God, whose spirits were not faithful to Him. You know, I want to talk to the dads in the room. You know, what an amazing gift God has given you. God trusts you with His creation. And not just any creation, His greatest creation. His prized possession. He has entrusted you with that. And it is a challenging and difficult task, but obviously one that you know that is rewarding above all else. It's more rewarding than anything else. You know, how can a dad that does more and more, how can you be a dad that does more and more? You know, things that come into my head on a dad that does more and more. You know, a dad that does more and more plans. You know, it isn't just kind of running around, well, I guess we'll just figure out what's going to go on. I'll figure out what we're going to teach them when they grow up or when we come to that bridge. You know, a dad that does more and more plans. You know, one that says, this is the kind of son that I want or daughter. This is the kind of dad I want to be. This is how I want them to see me. This is where I want to be in their lives. You know, you think about all the problems that are going on in this world and in this society. And a lot of them is because there aren't dads. There's a lot of single mothers out there. It's a hard thing. You know, dads aren't setting the good example. They're not doing what they're supposed to be doing. They're not where they're supposed to be. And yeah, there are dads who are at home, who are with their kids, but are not a good example. They're just deadbeats, or they're just sitting by the side. That's just as harmful as if they weren't there. You know, a dad that does more and more prays all the time, not just weekly, daily. You know, a dad that does more and more pushes through when it is hard. You know, I'm not a dad, but I can imagine it gets difficult, especially if they're a teen and they're being teens and kind of doing their own thing and not listening. That's a hard thing. You're doing horrible things to your parents. Not horrible. I'm joking. But, you know, a dad that does more and more pushes through, even when it seems like they're not listening. And the reason for that is in verse 7. It says, then they would put their trust in God and would not forget His deeds, but would keep His commands. You know, that's why a dad that does more and more pushes through. Because we know that God's word does not return void. We know that even though some of these kids of ours may seem like they're not listening and don't care, they're listening. They hear it. They see it. You know, typically how the dad is how the kids are. You know, if the dad is kind of just lackadaisical about his spiritual walk, that's how the kids are. If a dad is fired up, humble and committed, the kids are. I've seen it. When you see like the picture-perfect kingdom kid, look at the parents. the parents are picture-perfect disciples. And the reason is because God's word does not return void. You know, as dads, we can't be passive dads that sit by the side. We have to continue to do more and more because it is worth it. You know, when I think about my friends who are in the world, who don't know the truth, who have seen me change. I used to party with them. I used to do stupid things with them. And they saw me change. And yet they still didn't get it. I don't know why. But whenever I think about them, I get really convicted because I don't pray much about them. You know, I'll think about them every once in a while. I'll pray about them when I think of it. But if something was to happen to them, like let's say one of them died. You know, think about a family member of yours that isn't a disciple. You know, if they died, how much would you pray? You know, I know for me, if one of my friends, close friends, died that wasn't a disciple, I'd pray all the time. I'd probably fast for them. But I'm not doing that now. You know, I would do it when it's too late. And I say that to say this, that it's never too late to change. You know, whether we realize, wow, I gotta love a lot more. I need to be more devoted to God. I need to be a better dad. Whatever it is, it's never too late to change. You know, Satan plays with my head in that. I remember when I was in college that if I didn't open my mouth the first day of class, I wouldn't talk to anybody. And the reason for that, Satan would just tell in my head, man, they're going to think you're fake. They're just going to think you're a liar. Why would you reach out to them in the middle of the semester and not the beginning? Satan just gets in our heads. I don't know about you, but that's how he gets it on me. And it's never too late to change. You know, another thing that we can do for one another is being humble. You know, Richard's been, over this past month, has been talking about grace. And he challenged us, even had the married couple stand up and look at each other. You know, are we showing grace towards one another? You know, it's a very challenging thing to be humble. But when you're humble, you're serving. You're confessing. You're allowing input and correction in your life. Your life is an open book. You know, as husbands, we're getting input. We're humble with our wives. As dads, we're getting input. I don't know how to raise these things. Help me. You know, how much input are we getting in our lives? Because many of us have no idea what we're doing. You know, God's goal for us is to be like His Son. To be like Jesus. And Jesus lived each and every single one of these things out and more. To the T. And that is what God wants us to be like. He wants us to be His Son. You know, we have not arrived. I don't know about you, but I am not like Jesus. I'm here, and Jesus is like 10 blocks out of way. You know, the job is not done. We have much to improve on. So even though you and I are doing these things, we can do them more and more. Our God is eternal and He has no bound or limit. So that makes our service to Him boundless and limitless. God spoke everything into existence. And think about this. He created us and formed us with His hands. He spoke everything else into existence, but created us and formed us with His very hands. Let us love each other and this amazing God more and more. Amen.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank You for today. We just thank You for this service. May it be pleasing to your senses, Heavenly Father. Father God, I pray as we walk away and we go into this next week that we not forget to love, to live, to serve, to honor You, to honor each other, to be disciples more and more and more. Heavenly Father, we love You, we honor You, and we ask all these things in Your Son Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed.